Well, the hour has come. Good morning, everyone. We're glad that you're here. Welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning, and we're glad for an opportunity to gather together to worship the Lord. As we do so, we just want to take care of any housekeeping needs that we have. Are there announcements that we need to make? Congratulations. Can we see anyone here that has a birthday in June? Okay, Brad in the back.
Maxine.
She had her on the 2nd. Any others? I'm sure there's others in our congregation. So why don't we sing Happy Birthday?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Again, congratulations. My mom's birthday is the end of the month. She'll be 88. Other announcements. We have a Vacation Bible School coming up. I think today was the last day for gathering those supplies. And so if you have anything, please let Kelly know. And we look forward to Bible School coming up very soon. So please be in prayer. Without further announcements, then, Bob, do you have anything?
No, I think I'm pretty quiet today.
Okay.
Thank you.
So let us begin our worship with this prelude. Jared? Our call to worship comes from Psalms 138. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to gather as a body of Christ to share together in the things of God. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit indeed would come and be present on this, your day, the Lord's day, in your house. We pray, Lord, that you might move in a mighty way. Touch our hearts, Lord, as we look toward heaven. Thank you for this message here already this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be your servants as we look forward to the glorious things ahead. And so bless our time together, keep us safe, and we pray that you would have your way. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand with me and join in singing number 517, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 517. You may be seated. As is our custom, we always want to take time to pray together and to share with one another how God's answered our prayers. So if there's any joys or concerns, things that we want to lift up in prayers, let us hear those now. Danny? So prayers for Danny's mom.
Alan wanted me to thank everybody for their cards and prayers and their good card that they had given him. Mm-hmm. And he still needs our prayers. And Ricky and Jenny and Debbie.
Okay. Thank you. Others? Bob?
We have a cousin, Merle Allers, and Davey's a painter in Thurmont. He was working off of a man lift, and while going up and not paying attention to overhead wiring, came in contact with a hot wire. In other words, burned him in the head and so forth. But anyhow, he's taken shock trauma. He's back home now and seemed to be doing okay, so we're grateful for that. But just prayers for continued health and recuperation.
And his name again?
Merle Holler. They call him Dick.
Thank you. Others.
I'd like to still keep the Stahl family in prayer and also some unspoken requests.
Okay. And any others? Sure, there's some that are on our hearts. Deb?
I'd like to keep friends of ours, the Fogles. Cheryl is battling Alzheimer's and she's losing the battle. I know it's stressful for Glenn, so please keep the Fogles in your prayer.
Thank you.
I want to give thanks to the good Lord for that last Sunday of being able to see our grandson, which we haven't seen for a year and a half. He lives in Florida, of course. Him and his lady friend came up for about 3 or 4 days, and we got to spend some time with them. That was a glorious time. We thank the Lord permitting him and allowing him to come up.
Wonderful. Look forward to it, yes.
Continued prayers for our government and its leadership, and I just hope they find a conclusion on this infrastructure bill that they got going or goal that they got set, that they can come up with something decent and will serve each and every one without taking the pants off of every individual here on this side.
Thank you. We're also looking forward to having family together. Matthew and his wife Kaylee are coming up from Tennessee tomorrow, so appreciate traveling mercies for them as they come up on Monday and go back on Friday. Let's pray. As we do so, you're invited to kneel, or you may remain seated, whichever is easiest for you. And let's end with the Lord's Prayer then. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, in this time of quiet. We just come before you. Thank you for the opportunity to do so through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just want to give you thanks and praise, Lord, for many answered prayers, for family and friends, and for good health. We pray you would continue to move in the needs of those that you put onto our hearts, Lord, those that are sick and need your hand to touch. Lord, we pray that you would just move in a mighty way and bring about healing. And so continue to grant your blessings to those in need. We think of our sister Dolores. Bless her as she gets together with her grandson today and for her granddaughter's wedding this past week. And Lord, we just pray that you'd continue to strengthen her and help her be with her and others, Lord, who are at home. We think of our shut-ins, Lord, who can't get out. And so we just pray that you would bless them and let them know we're thinking about them. We pray, Father, that you would move in the continued situation in our country. And so, Father, we pray for our leaders. We ask, Lord, that you would just open their hearts, Lord, to hear and to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would help them to accept wise counsel. We pray that you would teach them to trust you. And we ask, Lord, that you would protect them from the influence of the evil one. We pray, Lord, you would give them discretion and foresight and understanding in making decisions. Deliver them, Lord, from opinions that are contrary to your word. We pray that you guard them from harm, bless and protect their families, and enable them, Lord, to carry out their duties with humility toward all. Give them a courage to do the right thing, even in this last hours. And we pray, Lord, you would urge them, help them not to do the wrong thing. And so just grant, Lord, a heart of compassion toward those that they lead and to those that they serve. And so continue to move in a mighty way, Lord, and have your will. Your will be done in our president and our cabinets and the Supreme Court and all of our leaders in government, all of our leaders in our church and denomination. And so, Lord, would you move in a mighty way? We pray, Father, that you would continue to bless and comfort those who are sad. So we think of the Cook family and we think of the Toms family. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to move mightily in the Stahl family, in the Fogels. Meet the needs of, Lord, our unspoken requests. We have many things that are on our hearts and minds that we sometimes aren't able to even voice. And so we just ask, Lord, you move in each of those as well. Be with Merle, this electrician and his accident. Pray that you'd give him full recovery. We pray for Danny's mom, Lord. Help her with her leukemia. Be with Jen with her cancer. Help Debbie with the test that she has. And we just ask, Lord, you would grant a season of health here as we go into the summer. We also, Lord, pray for our Vacation Bible School. Thank you for the 20-plus kids that have signed up. We pray, Lord, for good weather for that day. We pray, Lord, for your hand of protection, that there wouldn't be any serious accident. We pray, Lord, that the word that is shared would sink deep into their hearts and minds. Lord, that it would take root and grow and bear much fruit. And so bless the efforts that everyone has put together for our Vacation Bible School this year. Pray that you would continue to move in a mighty way in helping those that share the good news on a regular basis. And so be with our missionaries and leaders here at home and abroad. Lord, we pray for continued relief from the COVID-19, and we pray, Lord, for being able to get back to normalcy. And so we ask, Lord, that you would continue to have your way, show yourself strong in this hour, and we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And our next hymn, I invite you to stand and sing at number 144. Number 144, Only Trust Him.
Only trust in all.
You may be seated. Our scripture comes from 2 Corinthians. David Jeremiah preached on 1 Corinthians, and this is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 4 and 5. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body in the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burned, not because we want to be unclothed, but rather clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. May God add His blessing to the reading of His word. Would you pray for me? Lord, we just pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts and minds indeed would be acceptable. You are our strength and our Redeemer. You are what we look forward to meeting in heaven one day. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been really enjoying David Jeremiah's DVD series. I'm grateful for those who have come out. We've had at least probably a dozen, I think, each week attend to watch. And this says DVD on the Mysteries of Heaven. He's, I think, a really good preacher, and I enjoy listening to him as he shares his scriptures, his sense of humor, his story. And he has given us much to think about in terms as we look forward to our future home. In addition, we begin a new month. Here it is June already. Soon this year will be half over. And so we're celebrating graduations. We went to the store yesterday and got groceries. And a lady came out and she had about 25 balloons. And we thought, wow, someone must be celebrating a graduation. And so we're pushing her cart outside and we see her trying to jam all these balloons into a little car. She had some in the back, some in the trunk, and we heard one pop. So hopefully they had a good celebration. But here we are, graduation time, beginning of summer soon. We know that the graduates, they have goals in their minds. Foremost, they're thinking, they're planning for the future and their hopes, their dreams all coming to fruition at this time. And Also, for us then, we're probably beginning to think about summer vacations and Father's Day right around the corner and our upcoming vacation Bible school. So this is really a wonderful time of the year. And while these things are all good, we shouldn't forget the day in which we live. And this late hour, really, as we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the mission that he's given to us is his disciples. You know, there's a reason why he's still left us here. And it is to complete that mission, to share the good news with those around us. Therefore, the lectionary scripture that I chose for today kind of focuses our attention on kind of piggybacking on our study for Sunday school with the mysteries of heaven, but also thinking about our goals. What are our goals as Christians? What should our goals be? So how are you doing? How are you doing at pleasing the Lord? Paul ends his scripture here by saying that it is our aim to be well-pleasing to the Lord. And so as you think about your life, what you've done, what you've said, the things that you've thought, how are you pleasing the Lord? Are you? Would you say that you're well-pleasing to the Lord? I want to begin this morning with giving you a list of words and see if you can determine what these might have in common. What might these have in common? Baby, employee, life, year, deal, resolutions, car, home, phone, appliance, a coat of paint, Jersey, Hampshire, York, England, Jerusalem, heaven and earth. What might all these things have in common? Well, they're all words that you could have the adjective for the word new before. A new baby, a new year, a new deal, new Jersey, a new Jerusalem, a new heaven and earth. And so as we think about things that are new, I am frankly enjoy new things. I like new experiences. I like meeting new people. And all the things that go along with this list as well. And yet, at the same time, I have a certain comfort zone. I think all of us are a little bit like that. We don't like too many changes, especially big changes. And so we kind of have to ease into things a little bit. And so we don't want to have too drastic changes, but we do like new things. This is the first year that I've ever ordered a pair of shoes online. I needed a new pair of sneakers. So I have in the box still a new pair of white sneakers. I've been only using them just a little bit around the house to break them in. But I needed a new pair of shoes. And so it is always great to get something new. When the ops man pulls up to the house now, we thought, well, what new thing are we getting? A new book or what, you know? And so we've been ordering a lot more things online this year because of COVID. And I enjoy reading a new book. I enjoy visiting a new place, getting something new. And I'm sure you do too. And so when the Apostle Paul talks about a new body, that's something I can get excited about. How about you? We can get excited about having a new body. Many of us certainly would like to have a new body. To be able to shed the extra pounds, to be able to get rid of the gray hairs, to have more muscle, to have less pain, to have more strength, endurance. These are all pretty things that we would like to have and look forward to. And so we have really a good thing to look forward to, and thank God for the new bodies that he's promised to give to us. And one day these bodies, they're going to last for eternity. We continue to exist here on this earth. If the Lord tarries in coming, these bodies are going to deteriorate and grow older and older, and we're going to get weaker. And eventually, the Lord's going to come and give us a new body. And so we look forward to that as something that God forms for us. And so as we're taking a look here in the DVD studies in Sunday school, and also thinking about here in this message, we're thinking about this house, this body that's made for us by heavenly hands, a habitation. We don't quite fully know exactly how it's going to look or how it's going to feel or we're all going to be able to do in it, but certainly this morning's message gave us some insights. The scripture for today is Paul's second letter. He was quoting from 1 Corinthians 15. This is his second letter here, and he's talking about this hope of eternal glory that he has, about the habitation that we'll have. And he uses two different analogies here. He talks about shelters, and he talks about clothing. So I'd like for us just to look at that a little bit more here this morning. First, our earthly bodies are spoken of as tents. Now, it's interesting, you know, Paul was a tent maker, right? So he had some insights about tents. And so they're temporary shelters. They're movable. They're portable. If you've done any camping, I'm sure that you have probably set up a tent. It's a necessary shelter for providing some enclosure for overnight in the great outdoors. And when our boys were little, we used to do some camping at home. And so we would get a bed sheet and put it in the living room and prop it up with some chairs and stuff and bring our pillows and blankets out and crawl under. You know, it was always a big deal. Have a flashlight, and so we would sleep in the living room floor. Was something that they enjoyed to do when they were little. You know, that's great for a night or two, but as these bodies continue to get older, it's hard to sleep on the floor. It gets pretty hard, and so we trade those in for our beds for a soft mattress. Maybe you've traded in your tent for an RV. Maybe some of you would like to go camping and use an RV. We had friends of ours that do a lot of camping. We had a surprise visit last night. Deaf lady and her husband from Ohio do a lot of camping, and they're in Frederick, and they stop by and say hello. So they enjoy camping a lot. And we have other friends who have traded in their old RV that they used for many years and got a new one this year. We saw a picture of them on Facebook. And so there's a lot that you can enjoy with an RV. You don't have quite the amount of tear up and set down that you have with a tent. And it provides a little bit more comfort for us. We like comfort creatures. They're creatures of comfort. And so, but, you know, ultimately, we've traded all of those things in for a permanent house. That's the ultimate thing, the house to stay in. So when the children of Israel were in the desert and in the wilderness and traveling around, they were living in tents. And imagine that got pretty old after a while, living in tents. And they also had a tent for the Lord that was called the tabernacle. So the tabernacle, as you may know, is a portable sanctuary. It was a mobile worship center used by the Israelites, and it was instructed by God for its construction. It was a wooden frame that they could tear up and take down, about 45 by 15 feet, regular tent size with curtains and a roof made of ram skins. And it was erected in an area 150 by 75 feet in the center of their camp, where they would camp. They would set this up in the middle. And then the priests would set their tents up around the tabernacle. And then the Levites, and then the other 12 tribes around them. So imagine now probably a million people in tents. This is quite an operation, right? And so the tabernacle then, God's presence would come and dwell there with the cloud over it. And it would be a symbol of his glory and power. And he would guide the Israelites then through the wilderness. And so Paul here is comparing our earthly bodies with that of a tent, something that people can understand and be familiar with. They're not to be permanent, but this present life for us is like tent existence. Our eternal home is in heaven, something that's made from God. Philippians 3:20, as it was quoted here this morning on the DVD, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." And so in the Old Testament, God tabernacled with the children of Israel, and in the wilderness and tabernacled with them in with the temple there that was built. And then in the New Testament, Jesus tabernacles with us. It's interesting in John 1, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word there, dwelt, means tabernacled. And so the Word became flesh and tabernacled with us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we got a chance to see a God up close. And these physical bodies are really just temporary, and we're going to exchange them one day then for something that's more permanent. Our resurrected bodies, as David Jeremiah said, will be like His. And so those who have died will have put on incorruption. Those who are still living will put in immortality and will ever be with the Lord. Dr. Stanley says, we remain confident that we will live again in a new and glorified body, not because we see it, but because we trust the one who gave the promise. And he says that we will make it our aim and our delight to please Him by the way we live. And so we want to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Second analogy that Paul uses here for bodies is a house, a heavenly bodies as he's referring to. So you know that a building is more permanent. It is a dwelling that's better than a tent or an RV. It is a house that requires some effort to build, but when it is accomplished, it is more permanent. We used to watch a TV show called Extreme Makeover or Home Edition. A community would come and help a family get into a home. Sometimes they even have to start from scratch, but it was always a race to see if they could finish in a week's time. And it was always enjoyable to see them entering into their home for the first time. Recently, we have watched on TV Caribbean Life. And these are couples who are wanting to move to an island in the Caribbean, maybe St. Thomas or one of the islands down that way. And so it's always interesting to see their expectations and the kind of homes that are available and what they are looking for. And so they're looking for something that's going to match their dreams and their goals. David had a goal. He had a yearning. He said, you know, here he was living in a fine king's palace, and the Lord didn't have any house to worship in, him in. And so David sought to build the Lord a glorious temple. And the Lord said, no, not you, your son. And so David spent his lifetime gathering the resources, and then it was Solomon who was the one who built this marvelous temple, a gorgeous place for the Lord's presence. And they built it debt-free. And so here we have a permanent building for the Lord and for the people of God. Paul says that they have a permanent dwelling in the heavens, and he calls it a habitation, a house that's made with hands that are eternal. So that's going to be a glorious change. We just can't imagine what it's going to be like in the twinkling of an eye, you know, the last trumpet sounds, to have that transformation take place. It's just hard to put into words, right? One second, we're struggling with all that we have to deal with in these bodies, and then suddenly we're going to be transformed. We're going to be free. And he refers to that also as it's like clothes. You're taking off a coat and putting on a new coat. We all like to get something new, new clothes, a new jacket, and so in a sense it's going to be an exchange. It's going to be taking off and putting on. Death then is not something that we need to be afraid of. It's not something we should fear. And so we're just simply changing clothes. We're simply changing places where we're going to live. I like visual symbols. And so maybe you've seen there's a symbol for creation evolution debate. There's a large fish, and it's marked creation, and then there's this little fish marked evolution, and the big fish is eating the little fish. used to have that symbol on my car. but in thinking about this scripture, maybe a symbol that we could think about is the big fish being life, eternal life, And then the little fish being mortality. And the big fish is swallowing mortality up. It is a victory, Paul talks about. And the victory is what we see at Easter time when we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's another analogy that we could use in thinking about these things, and that is transformation. And so all of you are quite familiar with a butterfly, right? This ugly caterpillar crawling on the ground, destined to become a beautiful creature flying in the sky. And, you know, a monarch butterfly really is a complex and very interesting creation of God. I think only God could make such a thing, such a beautiful flying machine. Random chance? I don't think so. Evolution? I don't think so. Could be responsible for all the details that it takes for this amazing creature to survive. You know, in its life cycle, it goes through four stages, from egg to caterpillar to chrysalis to becoming butterfly, and that all takes place in a month's time. And so when this caterpillar goes into its chrysalis and wraps itself up, it's totally blind. And then when it comes out just 8 days later, it's able to see. But not just see, it's able to see all the colors of the rainbow, and it includes ultraviolet light. There's amazing transformation that takes place there. In just 2 hours after coming out of the chrysalis, it's able to fly. And then at the prescribed time, that only God knows, they fly south for the winter. 3,000 miles away, there is a place in Mexico, in the volcanic mountains west of Mexico City, and 300 million monarch butterflies make their way to 13 different places in Mexico to winter. Perhaps this should be one of the seven wonders of the natural world. It is an amazing sight. It's an amazing thing how they have never been there, but they go to the exact tree that their forefathers and mothers came from. They're at the same tree 3,000 miles away. You know, if God can make all of this happen and take place in the natural world, surely He can give us a new body, right? Transforming our earthly bodies into a heavenly body is an easy trick for the Lord, and it's certainly something that we can look forward to. He who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things by Himself. And so, you know, we just can't imagine, can hardly imagine what it's going to be like to exist in eternity, to have all the things that God's going to give us to do in the body that He's going to give us to live in. And so therefore, you know, we want to be prepared. We want to be ready. Obviously, we want to take care of these bodies as long as we can. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to exchange them one day, and we're going to be transformed. And I love the scriptures that Revelation ends with. It says that, behold, I make all things new. Behold, Jesus makes all things new. And that includes our bodies as well. And so if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old things have passed away, the new things are coming, and the Lord is going to give us a new body. That's something that we should get excited about. That's something we should look forward to. You know, our bodies, it says that they're like groaning, they're yearning, desiring for the things to come. And we look forward to having something new. And to have a new body certainly is something that is wonderful, something that is amazing. But at the same time, while we want to certainly think about heaven, be aware of heaven and how great it is. Paul writes here that our ultimate goal really should be to please Him. Whether we're absent from the body or present with the Lord, our ultimate goal should be to please Him. And so regardless of what housing we have, wherever we are, we should seek to be pleasing to Him. So our focus should be not so much on heaven, getting into heaven, but knowing the one who is there, knowing the Lord and pleasing Him. And so we don't want to be, as they say, so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly good. So we want to be good. We want to do what God has commanded us to do. And the reason He's left us here and hasn't transformed us yet. You know, the Lord can take us home at any moment. The Lord Jesus could come back at any moment. And so this is a very critical time. It is the last hour, some believe, that we have a chance to share with those around us. Our world is dying. It is in great confusion and disruption. Political powers and systems aren't going to save us. We see so many natural disasters and storms coming. We see the world is in upheaval. And we have a chance to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, how are you doing in your body? How are you doing with the things God has given you to do? And are you well-pleasing to Him? Have you thought, said, or done the things that are becoming of a Christian? You know, we certainly want to be in heaven one day. We want to experience that heavenly habitation. But we also want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What more of a blessing could be for us to hear Jesus say that to us? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And so we're going to exchange these old earthly bodies, these old earthly tents. We're going to exchange them for a habitation, for a heavenly home that we're going to be with Him forever and ever. And our goal then should be to please Him. Absent or present, to be well-pleasing to Him. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You. You're our Creator. You've created us, and we thank You, Lord, for these temporary tents that You've given to us. You've placed our spirits and souls in, and earthly vessels that are to serve You. And so, Lord, we just want to join in all of creation and be groaning for the earnest expectation of the fulfillment of Your plan in our lives. We praise You, Lord, for the building You have for us, a new body that is not limited by sickness and pain and death, which will not grow old, but will last for eternity, forever and ever. And so, Lord, help us all, our body, soul, and strength to serve You now and in these fleeting moments that we have that can hardly compare to life eternal. And so it is our desire, our aim, is to be well-pleasing to You. I pray that You would remind us again of the eternal hope of glory that awaits us as Your children. And as we stand at Your judgment seat, Lord, may we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we ask this in the name of Your precious Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I invite you to stand with me in singing number 127, number 127.
Thank you.
now. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Have a good week. Go in peace.
Thank you.